Greetings. This is the Automatically Deleted Husband. I have several quick things for you. One was I saw a report. I don't remember where it was. It may have been RT. It may have been somewhere else. And the end of the report with a clip from Michael Hayden, who many years ago was the head of the NSA and then the CIA. So he has a reputation. And he was at this, whatever it was, he was on a panel. And he made a comment, and that video was noticed at that time, and somebody made use of it, made a clip of it, made a short little, 20-second video entitled Hide Your Metadata, because he basically said what we can do with metadata is quite, you know, he said what people have suggested is quite true. And his comment was, we kill people based on metadata. And, you know, that was obviously, you might be concerned about that. And because this was shown recently in you can find a video on that from 2015 called Hide Your Metadata at shofarnexus.com because I made use of that because, you know, as I've discussed, what will happen? I think this is obvious because it's happening in so many ways already. It'll just get worse. The collection of metadata will be used in order to know where you are, in various other characteristics, who you're associated with, the kind of things you're doing, and so forth. And especially, you know, you think, oh, we're USA, we're, you know, freedom of religion and all that kind of stuff, garbage. And that'll be gone. The idea of standing in obedience to Christ, you will be paying for that. My Kaiser Kurios video that I did a couple of years ago, whatever, you know, talk about the price people paid back, you know, in the first, second, third century. It's coming back. It's coming back. But I think, you know, the thing that happens mostly is the compromise. And I think the institutional church is full of it. They just have a lot of people who will compromise. So they'll be part of the institution, but obedience to Christ, you can modify that. You know, anyway, I saw that and I found it interesting. The other thing I saw interesting is apparently there was another blurb from, what was his name, Zelensky in Ukraine. And he talked about the importance of freedom and democracy. yeah. You know, and if you buy that, I'm sorry. Remember, freedom and democracy are opposites because in a democracy, the minority is not free. It really is that simple. And just to hear that, because, and of course, you know, Ukraine, it's a one-party system. The other parties were outlawed. The major media, the primary media sources, if you don't toe the government line, you're arrested, killed, and things of that nature. So, freedom and democracy. Yeah, they have democracy. They vote. You have no choice. Anyway, and you know, again, the U.S. is becoming more and more like as I've pointed to so often. What's his name? Carol Quigley's. His book, Tragedy and Hope, where he discusses the idea that you have two sides. So you give people the choice. You can choose this side, that side, but their fundamental purposes are identical. So what you're doing is simply giving power, and you decide on the fluff, and you feel that you're going to throw the bums out. But, you know, the reality is you're giving power to the institution. Anyway. I introduced a bug. It took 2 days to find. You know, I'm quite convinced the stuff you know is where you make the mistakes. It's not the stuff you're not very good at. The stuff you know is where, and I looked, I added a whole bunch of tools. I did a bunch of cleanup in the meantime, at least I did that. But I couldn't see it. I just couldn't see it. You know, I was just completely blind to it. And fortunately, this afternoon, it was kind of like, oh, there it is. And it was literally click of a button and problem's gone. Kind of like, oh. It was, but anyway, so I got my bug down and now I'll be back to email tomorrow, Lord willing. But the other thing is, guess what? I got a postcard. this one came Friday. Happy birthday. Do you remember the joy of good parenting? I love you, I love you, I love you. Your man, because I had the use the photo because I thought a great photo of was it four of our kids in a small cage and especially Erica Lee, she had quite the facial expression because she played along really nicely because when Jack was getting Bear the dog and so we got the cage and they played with the cage. I think it was the day before it arrived. But Saturday, there was another postcard. Wonderful. From Susanna. Susanna, did you ever get the medal sent to you from your dad? The results for the 5K race are online, and the shirt should be in your hands. Love, Dad. See, the thing is, this is simply an act of hate. From the woman who committed her life to me, to return this is an act of hate. This is also an act of hate, but it's also illegal because she is censoring mail to my kids, which the document she signed said is against the law. But again, rules for thee and not for me. Yeah, how normal. But that obviously leads us to a phrase in Scripture that has bothered me for years, and I'm less bothered about it now. You know, you see it, for example, it's the last verse in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Chapter 17 is an identical line. And I'm thinking, okay, that part, you know, the idea of there's no king in Israel, that's kind of like a statement of fact. But everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That can be interpreted in multiple ways. But then there's Deuteronomy 12. You shall not do according to all that we're doing here today. Everyone doing what is right in his own eyes. And if you read that in context, this was not a good thing. And it's kind of like, okay, is what's said in Deuteronomy and what's said in Judges the identical context? And I wondered for years, because it would make the idea, it would be a challenge to the idea about authority. And there seemed to be an inconsistency here. Because if everyone doing right in his own eyes mean I can be effectively my own God and decide for myself what is right and wrong, I become the authority, that wouldn't be a good thing. And I would suggest the Deuteronomy 12 has that implication. But does the passage in Judges, do they have the same? And I wondered and I wondered. So I decided to look. And I looked. And this brings up another question, because I looked. In the Hebrew, it's the same word. The whatever is right is the same word in Deuteronomy and in Judges. So it's kind of like, this passage is identical. So do they mean the same thing? But then look at the Septuagint. And this brings up that question, which is the primary authority, the original Hebrew or the Septuagint? Because obviously the Septuagint is what Jesus quoted and what Paul quotes and all the other apostles who have wrote, you know, in the New Testament. They quoted the Septuagint. So where's the authority? In general, there's consistency. But what I found is the word used in the Septuagint in Deuteronomy for doing whatever is right is not the same used in Judges. And it's kind of like, oh, so what do they mean? And how does it impact the context? And this I don't know why. If anyway, it's Okay, Deuteronomy 12:8. You shall not do according to all that we are doing here today, everyone doing what is right in his own eyes. The idea of doing right is doing what is the Thayer definition, pleasing or agreeable. In other words, I would suggest what's said here, doing right, it's whatever pleases me or whatever I agree to, and or collectively, maybe even what we agree to. Right in my own eyes. So if the people around me are doing things, and I can say, well, all right, they're doing it, so it seems right to me, and I can do the same. I think there's that possibility, but it is in my own eyes. So I can decide the things that we're doing, I think it's right, by my authority. And this is saying, this is not a good thing. You shall not do according to all we're doing here today. So, but in the two cases, especially the last verse in Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. I think that sets the context. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. This is the entire definition, straightway, immediately, forthwith, because it's a different word. And what it seems to be is everyone was doing what is appropriate in their own eyes, but I think there's more of at least a connotation of that my effort to do what is right is not because I have decided, but I am trying to follow in obedience to Christ. You know, the context, and of course the context is tough, like the Judges 21. This is after, you know, because I did the video years ago, Lot, Levites, and the Yazidis, where contrasts the story of Lot and in Genesis, where he is rescued from Sodom. He did a few things that were a little kind of uncomfortable, but the point I made there is that he was in a community that seemed to have some embrace of homosexuality, because obviously, you know, he had virgin daughters, which he offered to them, which was kind of, oh, anyway, to the people who came to his door and said, you know, send out those angels, because they wanted the men, not the women. They wanted the men. So, you know, this was less than ideal. But in the case of the last couple chapters in the book of Judges, there is an unnamed Levite. And we have a very similar story where the men of the community came and they wanted to have sex with this Levite, the man, not his concubine. And again, a concubine is a wife that doesn't have particular privileges. It's not a prostitute. But anyway, there's a problem, because he took his concubine and tossed her out to them, and they had their way with her, and she died, which I suggest was mercy on the part of the Lord, because, wow, you know, this was gang rape. What happened is, you know, what happened in the case of in Sodom, the Lord sent two of his angels, you know, he there had the face-to-face interaction with Abraham, and then sent two of his angels to do, to make a mess of Sodom. He actually sent the fire and brimstone, kind of stuff, and he wiped out, Sodom. In doing so, no other people, and which you might say innocent parties, were hurt. Obviously, Lot's wife had an indiscretion and paid the price. But in the case of the Levite in the book of Judges. What happened, the community got together and said, this, what happened was not right. So they went after the Benjamites and did a number on them, but it cost them more people to do that than they killed the Benjamites. So it was less than ideal. But the point, and then of course I gave you some information about how we see a very similar story happen to the Yazidis in northern Iraq in recent years. But the point is, at the last chapter here, this is after that fact, and okay, we've wiped out so much of the Benjamites, and but how do we let them, you know, continue on? And and there's a story about how they get some wives, 400 of them, and so it's kind of like, this is really uncomfortable. It's kind of, this is messy, but the point. And the people of Benjamin did so and took their wives according to their number from the dancers whom they carried off. You know, kind of like, hey, you, grab you, and you're my wife now. And they went and returned to their inheritance and rebuilt the towns and lived in them. And the people of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family. And they went out from there, every man to his inheritance. Followed by, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So it's kind of like, it seems that there's a whole bunch of messiness there. The last couple chapters there, those, that's messy. That's really messy. And the way they got wives is a little uncomfortable. But the way it concludes, all right, we're settled. And it's not that we form now an institution so this doesn't happen again. It's we settled, everyone goes home to his own place to do what's appropriate in obedience to Christ on their own. Because again, consistent with you have no teacher but the Lord and all those kind of things. So it wasn't that now that we had this terrible thing, we need to form an institution in order to govern this. No. There was no king, and there was no desire or stated desire to set one up. And I think what you will see in the book of Judges, there you will find that there were times when someone becomes a leader, not a ruler. There's a difference. A leader's, you know, it's the one guy, and I can't remember his name as normal, Ehud, whatever chapter that is, you know, he goes to visit this king and whatnot and pulls out a knife and stabs him. And then he goes back to back to Israel and says, all right, the Lord has given these people into your hands. Follow me. And then he leads them. He does not say, you go take them. There's a difference there, which I think is very important. But anyway, the bottom line is there is a difference in the word in Deuteronomy versus Judges. But it goes one step further in the sense that Proverbs 12 and Proverbs 21 has a similar passage. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise man listens to advice. It's yet again a different word. So, you know, for a fool, hey, I think it's right, which I would suggest is consistent with the Deuteronomy passage. But then 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. And this is yet a fourth word, which means righteous. We think we're righteous in our own eyes, but the Lord weighs our heart. So I would suggest what we see in that passage is it's not that we are, you know, the fool is arrogant and is, I'm right. We would say, okay, I'm doing the right thing. But if we know that the Lord is weighing our heart, We're going to strive to do what is right. And we don't rest on I'm right. But our ways should we would tend to say, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. And the Lord will say, are you self-deceived or are you indeed striving to do the right thing? I would suggest is the meaning of this, because do the right thing or the righteous thing. But anyway, the bottom line is, because it's been a big deal. It's been a struggle for years. And, you know, it's still very unclear, but there's a strong hint now. There's a difference between Deuteronomy 12:8 and the passages in Judges. You know, and the Judges 17 is also, the context there is kind of like, oh, this is difficult. But it's not the same, because, there is a difference in the idea, I'm right and I've decided so. That's an arrogant fool. It's, I'm striving to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. So, because there is no king at the time of the book of Judges, I don't have a man to tell me I go straight to the Lord. May I suggest, even though we have kings, rulers, and so forth, today, we still must do whatever what is right, essentially in our own eyes, and our eyes need to be guided by Christ. Which would be, I suggest, consistent with, again, the Proverbs 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So when an authority may suggest something, you could say, okay, is the authority suggesting something consistent with Christ? Or it's just simply a friend or even an enemy who tells you something, pointing you or at least suggesting the idea to look to Christ for the actual reference. And taking heed of that, I would suggest that shows you're a wise man. And then, of course, in our effort to be right or righteous in our own eyes, we keep in mind the Lord weighs our heart. Am I self-righteous or am I in submission to Christ? I do think, anyway, it's still complicated, but the point is there's a difference in the words in all four cases when you consider the two times, you know, see the expression five times, but the two times in the book of Judges is the same words. So, I feel more at ease. I don't think I feel as still. I still need some clarity. But anyway, I did have a wonderful discussion with this with Chris, and I sure would love to have it with my kids, because I want my kids to be able to say, "Okay, I see this passage. What does it mean?" And I see a contrast. You know, whether it's this or something else in Deuteronomy and Judges, I see a contrast. Why? What am I not seeing? You know, again, the issues can be, are you seeing something that isn't there? You know, the obvious example, John 8, the woman caught in adultery. You see something, if you build a theology on that, well, you got a problem, because it's not part of Scripture blatantly. You know, and that's why you have some that will mark it that way. And so you have those kind of contexts. Am I seeing something that isn't there? Am I seeing something translated in a way that means means something different, you know, or, you know, in this case where we see the word right in all the cases, but it comes from a different word. So I'm losing, you know, you're losing something in the translation, literally. Is it that kind of issue? Is it an issue where I'm trying to see what I want to see? Have I done that? I refuse to answer on the grounds that it's, yes, I have. but, you know, so you have to be, you have to check those things. And then, of course, it is that struggle. It is the wrestling with God. And I want to encourage my kids to do that. You know, I find when I've had this serious engagement with people on theology issues or technical or other things, it's kind of like I'm learning something. I'm being refined. When I'm getting the fluff, I'm getting fluff. I'm not growing in Christ. I want, you know, this is why I had the Mormons come into my house to engage me, because I wanted the challenge. It's not that I wanted to defeat them. You know, if the Quran is right, you know, take the example. If the Quran is true and the Bible is false, do I want to stay in my club? Or do I want to say, no, I'm going to follow the Quran? Well, I will contend, because I've read it and read both and compare the two, no, the Quran is false. And the Bible is true. And I have to live, though, as if I actually believe that, and live not in my club, but in obedience to Christ. I want my kids to do the same. I want them to have that challenge. You know, I want to set it before them in obedience to Deuteronomy 6. Anyway, I want to encourage my kids. Because obviously, well, the events in with Lot, and the events in with the Levite in the last couple chapters of Judges, it appears my son Jack would be part of that crowd. This is not encouraging. I want to challenge him to repent. I want to encourage George, Walter, and Zadok to know, to wrestle with the Lord, and to know what it is to be obedient to him and to offer grace. Anyway, my lady, I sent you the postcard today because I looked at that photo. The photo of you with Walter, the day he was born. My goodness, you're cute. The smile on your face is magnificent. And I'm in love with you. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.